Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Pubcast Show 143, and I'm back. Hey, Paul Sparrow, you happy? You bastard.
Yeah.
How are we all doing? Yeah, everyone seems pleased to see me.
Are you calling a bastard and why?
One of our beloved listeners. I'm only joking because he says he prefers you, Jim. But don't worry, I'm only joking. I had a nice holiday, thanks for asking. You all did all right,
yeah? No one really cares.
No one really cares.
No one really cares.
I've come back. I've been inspired by you guys while I was away.
To be honest, mate, honestly, it was more of a hassle that you were away, and it was, you know, I had to actually do shit.
Yeah.
And, do you know what? Yeah, I'm kind of glad you're back, but I'm just more pissed off you weren't here, to be honest.
Oh, that's nice.
No, not because it was nice to have you here, because I actually had to do stuff.
I'm going to pretend.
All right.
I'm going to pretend. Of course, that's Dan Silver. Jim's here. We've got new boy Chris as well, who I actually met for the first time this morning. Coming on to our show without me meeting him, terrible.
Well, that's your terrible fault for not introducing yourself before, really.
Well, you know, I hear he doesn't like Spurs, so it's all right. It's all good. Now, I mean, I said I was inspired, and that's the reason that, as you listeners can't see, but the guys around the table can't, I'm wearing a ridiculous game show host's jacket this week.
Yep.
And the reason is because The Family Fortune sounds like it was a roaring success. We got at least one Twitter remark on how good it is.
That's one more than we usually get, to be fair.
So from now on, every so often, we're going to resurrect an old game show and do it in a podcast style.
Love it.
And this week, it's not going to be every week, I warn you, but this week, as a treat, we are going to play Coxon's Price is Right.
Coxon's Price is Right.
I'm going to be your Bruce Forsyth. Good game, good game. It's nice for you to listen to us,
Nice.
How many people do you think are going to shout nice at that when they hear it? I reckon none whatsoever. Now, actually, we're going to have teams, but there's not enough of us here, so it's going to be Dan versus Jim and Chris.
Well,
that's still teams. Well, it kind of is, but you're on your own, aren't you? Question for you.
Right.
We asked our listeners for stand down and stand out performances from deadline day. We got 9 responses, or 9 individual people, which is quite good, I think. How many of them responded and said that Manchester United was a stand down? Jim and Chris?
4?
9.
No, not all nine.
No, out of 9,
sorry, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Four. Are you going to go for higher or lower, Dan? I
want to
waste some
time.
You've got 2 of you. Higher, lower, higher. That's the crowd noise.
Higher.
Higher. Well, I'm afraid the answer was 3. It's lower, only 3 out of the 9.
Shit.
Therefore, you're going to get the crappy low money round, and these guys are going to get the big money round.
Right.
Don't win any prizes, but fuck it, it's going to be quick. Alexander Tonev moved from Lech Poznan to Aston Villa in the summer for $2.5 million. But did Peter Odemwingie, when he moved to Cardiff, cost more or less than $2.5 million? Higher or lower? Higher or lower?
Whilst we're talking about Odemwingie, how old is he?
He's
late
Nigerian,
20s,
he? So 43.
Well, yeah, no,
it's the any
age. 32, apparently.
32?
32?
Yeah. What?
I hope it was less.
A lot younger than that.
Right, higher or lower? You going to be lower?
I'm going to go
lower.
Less.
It was lower. 2.25 million. Ooh. But as you know, we don't have any cards or dollies for this, so I'm just mucking through paper. Christian Atsu, Porto to Chelsea. Higher or lower? Higher or lower?
Higher.
Higher, higher. It was higher.
Yes.
2.5 million. Alan McGregor, Besiktas to Hull. Higher or lower? Higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower, lower, lower. It was lower. 1.8 million.
I'm on fire.
You knew that without even looking as well.
And finally.
Bucky's printed them themselves and it's not an official show.
Guillermo Varela, Penarol to Man United. Higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower, lower. It was lower. It's 1 million.
I've absolutely smashed it.
This window.
He did move this window earlier in the summer. So well done. You finished third, Dan.
Hang on, I just got every single one of them right.
Yeah, but it was the losers round, so, you know.
You have
it's okay,
not, no,
he's going
on.
Home with a carriage clock.
Hang on, how have I managed to get all those questions right and still end up last?
I'll tell you what, you can finish second if these guys don't get all theirs right, because they're on the big money round.
You haven't done this well at all.
I haven't, no, but it's fun, and I get to wear this daft jacket. That's all I care about. Dejan Lovren.
You must be sweating your tips off.
I am
well.
Indeed. I'm going to stink later. Leon to Southampton, 8.5 million. But did Gary Medel, as I'm choosing to pronounce it, when he moved from Sevilla to Cardiff, cost more or less? You can go between you, Dan. I want some crowd noise.
Yeah. Lower.
Lower.
We're going to say lower.
Lower. It was higher.
Hey!
11.2 million. But unfortunately, we're going to keep going anyway, even though you got
wrong. Surely that should then get handed over to me.
Okay, hand it over to you.
No, go on, carry on. You boys go. Keep going. No,
Wilfred Bonny.
I hand over to Dan for all I
Wilfred Bonny, higher or lower? Higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower, lower. It was higher. It's 12 million.
Back to you
guys. Christian Eriksen, higher or lower?
That was lower.
It was 11.5. I've made a typo there.
I was going to say, yeah.
Emmanuel.
Do I get extra points for knowing the exact fee?
You do, Jim. And
Yay.
You get a wink.
Ooh.
There you go. Emmanuel Giacchirini, Juventus to Sunderland. Higher or lower?
It's got to be lower.
Got to be lower.
You'd think that, it's probably higher.
It was lower, it's 8.6 million. Ricky Van Wolfswinkel, the final one. Sporting to Norwich.
It was lower than 10. I'd say higher, higher by a million.
8.5.
I'm afraid it was exactly the same, and you get nothing for a pair in this game. Everybody loses, especially the listeners. Anyway, should we go on to the show now?
Hey!
We'll be back with another game show in a few weeks.
Hold on to your hats.
Transfer deadline now. I'm going to take this fucking jacket.
When you say hold on to your hats, is that the title of the game show? Or was that just a comment?
Yeah. I'm going to come up with a game show called Hold On To Your Hats now.
Did you get the iTunes reviews printed out?
I didn't know about them until Dan just told me on the way down. But we will talk about them next week. I heard they were both very positive.
We're not sure.
Well,
obviously they're positive. It's a great show.
I'd actually like some negative reviews, that would be quite good.
We've had them in the past. They normally either insult me or Dan.
No, they're all normally positive, but still insult us.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's all right. It still improves our star system. It don't matter what we say. Dan, deadline day. What do we think? How was it? Everyone enjoy it?
I wasn't really paying that much attention, to be honest, because for the first time in God knows how many years, Spurs actually did all their dealings earlier. Ooh. So it wasn't really...
Well, there was one movement on... transfer deadline day, wasn't there, I suppose?
It was in David Moyes' pants, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there was nothing really... Well, yeah, but there was nothing... I wasn't keeping as close an eye on it as I normally do because I knew that Spurs had done the majority of their business.
Yeah.
So, for me, it was it wasn't as exciting.
Now, Chris...
On the other hand...
What were your feelings? Because, obviously, Tottenham did nothing, that's what I was going to say, honestly.
Nothing all season. Started this today scared, anxious, worried. There was a strong feeling of nothing was going to happen throughout the whole day. It happened at 10:30, I believe it was announced half an hour before Ozil was signed. And
it had been set in motion about 10 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't it?
Could have been any time, yeah. But it was released at 10:30 and I was over the moon. I was really, really happy. Ozil is a top player.
Now, we've got something in from a listener who said, put it simply, we didn't need another midfielder, even though Ertzl's a brilliant player. What we needed was a defender or a striker.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, demonstrates that Wenger is out of touch. What do you think?
Wenger knew exactly what he was doing.
He
sold Jovinho to Roma.
Well, that's what they said.
They sold Lamella to Spurs. Spurs sold Bale to Real Madrid, and he gets the best player in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Which is what
I agree with him in a way that listener that tweeted that. But it's not like we didn't do nothing. We were in for strikers throughout the transfer window. Yeah. It was obvious we were in for Quayne, Suarez, obviously, and also Demba Ba.
Yeah.
Which was out on Saturday or Monday. So, all right, nothing happened. But we've got Ozil and it was better than nothing. It was 42 million. I'm really, really happy with him. The important thing about Ozil is he's going to make the players around him a lot better. Giroud or Walcott. And
I don't think Arsenal need another striker anyway.
Giroud's looking really good this season.
You're going to put Giroud up top, who's going to be top scoring.
What if he gets injured?
Podolski to come into that. And then you've got
Podolski
striker.
Podolski hasn't played in that position for Arsenal.
He plays on the wing for Germany.
You play one up front, you've got two class strikers there. They've got the lad who they signed the free transfer. He might be shit, I don't know.
So you only have two top strikers for a Champions League team. You need more than two.
And of course, Nicholas Bentner's there.
So you're playing two up front, then you need five strikers, do you? You need five top class strikers to be a Champions League team.
What,
to be a Champions League team, yeah?
Yeah.
Four top, right, so that's double the amount of players in the position. They play one up front, they've got two strikers.
Who's the other two? Who's the other one?
Podolski, I've just said.
No, who's the other one?
Giroud and Podolski, two. You play two up front, you need four. You play one up front,
but they've only got two top class strikers.
Well, maybe Theo Walcott will finally get his chance.
I just said, if you've got two up front, how many top class strikers do you need? You said four, so you're doubling it up.
You need four to be able to
play one up front. Well, you need four top class strikers to play one up front. And you've got three top class strikers sitting on the bench.
You need at least three.
Nonsense.
Well, you need
something. You've got Giroud or Podolski up top. You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain when he's back fit. Walcott, Ozil, Sané Cazorla, Wiltshire, Ramsey, who's a different player this season. Arsenal will finish top two.
If you're playing with one striker up top, and I like that laugh. Playing with one striker up top, you do need two, because then if you do have one striker,
you need Podolski and Giroud.
No, but you need a further one as the backup. I was going to say is you need two backup strikers, so you can have one to come in and then another one on the bench.
Front? They've still got Bentner, haven't they?
Unfortunately, we still have Bentner.
Fuck, unfortunately. Chuck Bentner in against Hull City and see him get a hat-trick in that position.
Well, that's probably what's going to happen. We'll have all our strikers injured and we'll bring Bentner on and he'll start scoring goals and then he'll fuck off on a free
hit. Coxon could buy out front behind that midfield and still get chances
to score. Absolute rubbish. It is absolute rubbish. They needed so many players, Arsenal, and they've they've papered over all the cracks.
It's so funny watching
papered,
Spurs.
Papered over all the cracks.
I do think they've missed it. You need a defender. And I also think a goalkeeper. I know you've got this Viviano, but he's going to be back up, isn't he? You needed a first choice goalkeeper.
Well, I think Chesney's fine.
No, Chesney's playing well this season so far.
I don't see
but
the problem there at all. He's a
little bit nuts.
But yeah, but he's 23 years old.
I mean, what was he thinking about when he came out of goal the other day and then started trying
to. He does that every now and then.
I just love the fact that Arsenal just continually shit over Spurs.
When what are you
Arsenal,
talking
Arsenal
about?
Have their worst season in their history. They finish above Spurs.
Well, let's talk about
Spurs,
the weekend.
Spurs are like lauded as the winners of the whole transfer
window.
They've
they
done all their business.
Of course
they don't
they
really, and Arsenal come along on the last day, sign one player, which
one
is a Spurs
player.
Fan scrambling yeah, around like this.
Mate, I'm not even remotely bothered. What
as
are you talking
complete,
about?
As a
you're
complete
talking
neutral,
shit. You're talking absolute shit.
It's hilarious. Arsenal won the transfer window. First silver
are you fucking mad? That actually that makes you sound like a complete cunt.
They absolutely
that
won.
Makes,
no,
that
they
makes
didn't
you sound
that
is
not speak for
pathetic.
Arsenal.
No, it doesn't. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Day, Arsenal won
you
it.
Absolutely no idea what you're talking
player,
about.
But they certainly
they
didn't
signed the best player now in the Premier League.
It doesn't matter.
He could single-handedly win in the league.
No, he didn't.
What are you talking about?
I disagree.
Even the Arsenal fans disagreeing with you, Jim.
If you put Ozil, or whatever his name is, in Hull City, they'd finish top two. They'd easily finish top two if you put him in that side.
I love you too.
I wouldn't say
easily.
This transfer window has been a failure for Arsenal.
No,
but
it's
I've
a
been a little
success.
Bit disappointed personally.
Yeah. Them and Liverpool in a close second. Sunderland shortly after. That's the top three.
And Paris,
all right, I thought we were having a serious conversation.
And
it turns out we're
not. Anyone wants to bring that to me on Twitter or Facebook or what have you.
There we go, self-mowing. You can find me at Jim Barkoff.
But yeah, let's defender, talk about the game. Right, what did you think about the game? We'll go on to that quickly while we're on Arsenal.
If we're talking
Spurs.
About losers as well.
Oh no, we're going to go on to that. I just
Man,
while we're on Arsenal Tottenham, I've got
on,
a lot to say
about
that.
Let's talk about,
talk about the derby quickly, then we'll talk about my bad week.
I thought we were the better team on the day. We were the more cohesive unit.
Yeah.
Spurs looked a little bit disjointed every night. You know, same with Arsenal. We looked
half
a little bit scruffy. Yeah. Which is going to happen, it was obvious. But yeah, we looked the better team on the day and we won the game.
That was pretty much it. I mean, we still. We had 58% possession or something like that.
Yeah,
57-43. We had more possession, which is what
you did less with it. We had less of the ball, but did more.
Absolutely, and that's why our
second half after Wilshere come off, I'll give Spurs had a good half.
Yeah,
half.
But mate, our biggest problem, which has now been solved with a bit of luck with Lamela and Eriksen, was that creativity, that last little bit in the final third, which is what we haven't had from the start of the season. We've got an absolute powerhouse of a midfield that does not get. That will dominate any midfield.
Powerhouses don't get taken off with oxygen when they've sprained their ankle.
Well, it wasn't a sprained ankle.
Nothing powerhouse about that.
Ligament damage, wasn't it?
Ligament
damage.
Oxygen,
yeah,
please,
yeah.
For my ligaments.
As my
I'm going to rip your ligaments off your ankle, see how you feel.
It'd be fine. I'm back in 4 weeks. Oh, no, but you had oxygen, mate.
Also,
someone should have come on and stamped on that ankle. Stamped on it so he couldn't ever play again.
As my sister's Spurs supporting boyfriend said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So we'll see, you know, Spurs.
Mate, I completely
it's
agree.
A hard fixture for Spurs to come to Arsenal. And play.
Exactly.
I mean,
and I said, like, this got poo-pooed by Staples and he's about to shoot it down again. That was the perfect time for Arsenal to play this new Spurs team. Because they didn't get, even 4 weeks later, 4 weeks down the line, we'd have had the Lamela, Eriksen, Kenko, Gelling, know what they're doing.
Yeah. I don't think you'd have got any more points on the board in 4 weeks' time, to be honest.
100% we would have done, I reckon. Given that team.
Looking at the signing as well, though, Flamini, I think he looked really good.
He looked up for it,
but
he hates Spurs.
Yeah. Well, you could see that the first thing he did was take someone out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly the sort of play you want at Arsenal. It's
but yeah, but for him to come
the
back
tackle on Danny Rose very much reminded me of the Chorluka
that's
tackle.
Exactly.
It's fucking
he's 28 years old. He's been playing for AC Milan. He's been playing Champions League football for the last 3 years.
He's not been playing that much of it, though, has he?
Milan offered him a contract. But he didn't take it. He came back. To get him on a free at 28 years old.
But then West Ham didn't offer him a contract. Because he was on trial there and they said, nah, you're all right. Like
did he really?
Yeah, like the McDonald's event. No, you're right. Move on.
But no, it was, yeah. Anyway, no, it was. The better team won on the day, without a doubt. And
but
I said that because it was an Arsenal first team that was very much settled, pretty much the
team of last year.
Yeah, and pretty much the first team. And you know, I mean, at the end of the day, fuck me, going to the Emirates with a settled, strong team is fucking hard enough. Yeah. Let alone going
it's
on
with
half
a brand new team.
It's
going to be an interesting fixture at White Hart Lane,
especially with Ozil on the team. Exactly. Well, I think it'll be a great game.
If he plays that game, he'll score a hat trick.
Go on, keep going, Man United.
Play left back, and he'll still score a hat trick in that team.
Yeah. So what day was it? Was it Monday? It's all blurred into one depressing mix. It was And I actually think in terms of the business we have done this summer, in terms of what we've finally brought in, it's not too bad, because the only real weakness last season was the centre midfield. We bought a Premier League quality centre midfielder, but it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
It was utterly embarrassing. I don't know who to lay the blame at. I did see a nice joke on the internet. How much wood would Ed Woodward chuck if Ed Woodward could chuck wood? Probably 4 million more than necessary. But
who's Woodward?
He's the guy who's absolutely fucked up our transfer deal. He's the new chief executive.
Oh, right.
Plays
right.
David Gill.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a bit of a farce. We seem to have a bit of a scattergun approach. I'm not arsed about paying too much for Fellaini, because he's a good player.
Yeah, but he's not a Man United player, is he?
I think he could be.
He's not.
He definitely is. People, I've seen the photos.
Yeah.
No, it's a Photoshop.
There was a Photoshop of him having his medical. You know, they always hold the sheet up to block him going into the hotel or the hospital. It was just an afro over the top of his sheet.
Yeah.
Which was very nice, very witty. But
I think you could have got a lot better for 27 million than Fellaini.
In terms of Premier League, who could we get? You're not going to sell Moussa Dembélé.
Well, why are you talking? Why just Premier League?
Colton Cole was available.
Because we looked abroad. Colton Cole, he's not anymore, unfortunately.
He's got a West Ham.
I'm amazed we didn't put a late bid in for him. But we tried getting better players in, and we got embarrassed. Fabregas, Thiago, Schneider. By all accounts, although I think Schneider's a bit. Too old now.
Well. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's ridiculous. People are talking about this Herrera, who 90% of English football fans never heard of.
No, never heard of.
I remember him from the Bilbao game, and he was fucking class. But I can't remember. I can't say I know much more about him.
But what was this story about the representatives?
Well,
that
we've been asked about
hilarious.
This as well. Originally they said it was three imposters, which I thought great. Three Manc chances out in Spain
on holiday.
Just going here.
Let's go in here.
I got to go backing at the Sun Lounger in a minute.
Put a suit on and we'll pretend we work for Man United.
But what apparently it was is they were three football lawyers from Bilbao. Who were used for the Javi Martinez to Bayern Munich transfer, in which there were some dodgy dealings. Now in this it looks like there's been some dodgy dealings as well, and it's turned out that there's certain rules in Spanish football whereby when you pay a player's clause, if you're a Spanish club you can wait a month to pay it. That jacket looks lovely on you, Jim.
I haven't got it on yet. Oh,
it does, doesn't it? Bit tight, but you know.
That's the look nowadays, isn't it? Really good.
It's the look of love.
Well, you'd know your fucking tight jeans.
I know, yeah. It's great to have someone trendy on the podcast.
Thank you.
And that's how my mum would describe
it.
Somebody trendy. Someone with a beard as well.
Someone with a beard.
I mean, I dream
proper
of
beard.
Going.
Yeah, you're
actually,
right.
Actually, the three of you
fair,
are
that,
a bit beardy,
that is a proper beard, to be
it
fair.
It is, yeah.
It is. Thank you.
I'm half tempted to give you 50p for a cup of coffee.
That's not very nice,
no,
is it?
No, in a nice way.
Where's he going to get it from? It's fucking, it costs about £6 in this shit, huh?
I know, yeah.
Thanks, Henry's.
Yeah, cheers. But no, apparently they were.
No, cheers are good. They give the Sydney guys drinks every week.
Free booze, there you go. Bastards.
But yeah, it was just a clusterfuck, basically. But yeah.
So it wasn't just some people on a wind up trying to say.
No, it wasn't. They were proper lawyers on behalf of Bilbao, but apparently also on behalf of United. It's ridiculous. I've lost all care for it. We've got a midfield at the end of the day. Hopefully that will be enough.
It was a fucking joke, though, wasn't it? What they offered originally for Baines.
Well,
and Fellaini. That's
why it's so embarrassing, because David Moyes must
know. Do you think
Moyes
has been an influence on this? And the reason you have been saying
I certainly don't think he's had as much influence as he could have, because surely he knows how much Everton would accept.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's underestimated it. Maybe he knows what financial.
Speaking of influence, fucking hell, it was a really good job Newcastle brought in Joe Kinnear, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That boy is done. He's been non-stop.
Judge him on his transfers, and he's brought in one player on loan who's on a rape trial in a few months. So, judge him on his transfers.
I mean, apart from that. But then they'll say, oh, no, the biggest coup of their transfer window was keeping Kabay.
Yeah, he's happy to be there, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to be on great form until Christmas, isn't he?
Absolute joke.
But to be fair, I did see one Newcastle fan say, if they'd done it the other way around, bought in Remy at Christmas, survived, and then bought in the players they bought in at Christmas now, they'd all be happy with it.
And, I mean, Pardew, you could see it was backtracking, wasn't it? But he said, to be fair, with the money we had available, we couldn't actually afford to buy any more players that would actually improve the squad.
Yeah.
And we're basically saying we've got no money, and while we're not going to buy shit for the sake of buying shit, so...
Yeah, I'm going by Ben Arthur, by the way.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, talk about some football.
Yeah. We shall, because I was going to say my winners of the transfer window were Liverpool, because they've strengthened their squad everywhere it needs to be strengthened, and unlike Spurs, which is the only reason I've not got Spurs, they've kept on to their best player in Suarez. Whether he'll be disruptive, I don't know. But at the weekend, and it was a crap game at the weekend, our game, but they did not. They defended very well. They got one goal, which I think was very nicely worked rather than lucky. There were no other proper chances in the rest of the game.
The early goal meant, I mean, that fucking Anfield went mental, as you can obviously imagine, but
Sterling just Liverpool held onside.
Last minute breakaway, Man United had a chance again, I don't think,
but they weren't proper clear cut chances that you would say 99 times out of 10 he was at a bit of an angle on his right foot. You would expect Van Persie to score that, but at the same time
he's the second best player now in the Premier League.
He's done that before though.
No, it was the left footed shot, wasn't it, that just
it was when he was in on the right and he put it into the side netting.
Yeah, that was a difficult one, but
I'm not worried. We've got as many points from our three games that we've opened with as we got from those three games last season. Who knows what will happen? I'm not going to get depressed. I'm not going to be like most of the warriors I've seen on the internet demanding Moyes out at the moment. So.
Who's your Man United's next league game?
Palace at home, which is quite a nice one to follow on. But
why was Zaha not been on the bench?
I'm not sure, because he started the Charity Shield. I wonder whether or not maybe they want him to get a bit more, I don't know, training under his belt, experience of what he needs at that level.
I think, for a game like that, it needed some sort of...
Personally, I'd have
him. United needed some sort of creativity.
I'd rather have him on the pitch than Nani or Young.
Nani's great. And I actually think Ashley Young didn't have a bad game, all things considered, compared to some of our players.
You missed Rooney, though.
We did miss Rooney a lot.
You've heard about this head injury, haven't you? It's supposed to be horrific.
Yeah.
Like you see the quotes from Walcott this morning saying it looks like out of a horror film.
Yeah.
Phil Jones is just a fucking liability. I'm sorry. But the boy's a liability on the football pitch. And when he goes and kicks Rooney so hard in the head that he creates a gash on his forehead that he's out of...
The blades that they do, you don't have to... kicking very hard. He's just probably glazed it.
Yeah, but why are you training in moulded? Why are you training in metal blades? Like,
well, they were playing on a really hard pitch, weren't they?
It doesn't make any fucking sense, does it?
Oh, no. Bloody hell, Andy Franks has turned up.
What, you mean you didn't wait for me?
Did we, Frog? How are you doing? Alright, I've got a couple of Brentford transfers I made that we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, sure.
But we're talking about actual football at the moment.
Carry on.
Not an insult on Brentford, we don't just mean we're not talking about transfers.
Really?
But no, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Liverpool game. But
Liverpool, yeah.
Do you know, but honestly, it was, if I was a Man United fan watching that game, I know you're saying you're not worried about they needed something else. I know, whether it was the missing Rooney,
there was
not that spark. And the fact that Moyes' first home game at Old Trafford and they draw 0-0 for the first time in 700 years and then go to Liverpool
Those bloody Saxons a 0-0 draw against
the season doesn't take shape until a few games in. I think you'll survive, but you do need Palace gives a big game because there's two teams.
Well, it's a 6-pointer, isn't it?
Yeah, early.
Palace are coming on.
Talking of Palace, they signed 14 players.
It's ridiculous, and none of them are any good.
Palace. We nearly got Bentner. Great result for Palace though. 3-1 at home to Sunderland. I know Sunderland have been a bit dodgy to start with, but still, first home win. 3-1 emphatic as well. It's
anyone see Gale's missed hit penalty?
He's a weird looking chap, isn't he? He really is. He's like something off a film. Not a good film.
In fact, to be fair to Palace, I do think Jason Puncheon's a decent enough Premier League player.
Palace as well.
Shawnee
Miller signed for them, yeah.
We were chatting to him on Friday night. He was very disappointed to see him go. Surprised.
To see him arrive.
Surprised that Southampton let him go.
Shawnee Miller sent us a standout performance from the transfer window, which is Oldham signing Genseric Kasunga from Basel. Standout performance because for that man's parents giving him such a great name, he said. So, fair enough.
In fact, they're allowed to play Champions League in the last couple of years.
Thanks, Johnny. And speaking of.
Someone's spun
your jacket is.
You missed the game show. That was my game show host.
It's not stable with his jacket.
Well, it's actually Rick Williams.
I am wearing this to a meeting, mate. I'm not even fucking kidding you. someone spun him a line there, didn't you? Oh yeah, you're playing in Manchester. Yeah, you're going to play for Manchester or City United. No, Oldham when he gets there.
Yeah. Bless the kid. It does look good on you. It's a bit small, as we've said.
Just get away with that.
I don't know, you look a bit like the other Dan Silva like that.
Yeah, just what I was going to say. You look like Swiss Tony.
You should get all the Gillingham fans to wear one.
Can't afford that.
Yeah. Well, only an Australian could buy that jacket, and only you could pull it off, Jim.
I'm wearing it. couple that with, I'm going to take that to Ibiza. A pair of sunglasses, job done.
Just that and some sunglasses, that'd be a fucking look.
The Man United Liverpool game, has anyone actually talked about David Moyes and how he's handling the media at the moment?
We've not talked about the media, but we've talked about things in general.
I mean,
from the way he's portrayed it so far,
Man United played a blinding game and he's proud of his players.
To be fair to him, he's yet to give us
info. Sorry, when you said handling the media, I thought you meant he can't work the TV and the address.
He's yet to give us an interview, so that's a negative point on his handling of the media.
But how do you accept, if you're a United fan, that losing to Liverpool and drawing against...
I don't think United fans are accepting that. I don't think that's what's expected. I mean... I don't remember a single good Man United Liverpool game. I don't care what he says in the press, to be honest. Couldn't give a fuck if you put it off on the pitch.
You're a little bit upset, aren't you?
No, genuinely, I said the same to you when we were having a slash the other day. Yeah. Same your mind.
If he pulls it off on the pitch, you were talking about that whilst...
No, that was after we were talking about David Moyes. But
I'll leave you alone.
I don't think any football fan should care less until they start getting a bit joking here in the press.
It's early in the season.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's still, you know...
Liverpool are unbeaten, or got 100% record.
Yeah, fair enough to them.
Yeah.
Them and Orient.
I really
Orient's still got it as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Peterborough...
No, Peterborough lost at the weekend.
Lost at the weekend.
Leighton Orient are flying, aren't
come
they?
Come on, Yost.
That's come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I fucking hate Orient as well.
Oh, well.
Who hates Orient? Why do you hate Orient?
Some of my distant relatives support Orient, and they're all wankers.
That's nice, isn't it?
I mean, we've clearly unearthed some sort of family dysfunction here. Like,
how's the new baby coming along?
Has anyone dropped the old C bomb yet? Because they all cunt.
No, I think I might have done.
Oh, sorry. There we go.
Oh, well, there's no need for that.
There we go. Yeah, looking down leagues, Chesterfield fucking flying in League Two.
Yeah.
As are, well, Oxford and Burton are just behind him. And AFC Wimbledon, or Wimbledon as Jim Staples knows them. Fantastic.
They knocked three past us last night as well in the Johnson's Paint.
Scored five though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Bang three last night. Yeah, conceded five. But, still knocked three in, didn't they? Yeah,
and speaking of League Two clubs and transfer news, have we spoke about Hastings for a while? Because the FA Cup's back.
Absolutely smashing it.
Hastings United have won their first game in the FA Cup. They beat Ramsgate 1-0. And they've got Guernsey in the next round.
And they're top of the league as well.
Top of the league. Is Lettice still on the books?
I don't think Lettice is. But I know all the Hastings boys were looking forward to an away day in Guernsey. They've got them at home, so maybe if they can hold on for a draw.
I am going to watch Hastings on the Saturday the 26th of October. I hope it's not snowing or too cold, because I hope the game's on.
So, well, they beat Ramsgate 1-0.
They're supposed to have an Indian summer, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah.
End of October.
Yeah, well, October last year was scorching.
Well, that was the year before.
Was it?
Last year was shit.
All right.
But good luck. Anyway, the goal against Ramsgate, the beers are getting bought in by Sam Adams because he scored it. It was Joe Maggs' first game in charge after placing the beloved Sean Ray. But other news, bigger news, Bradley Goldberg's joined Dagenham and Redbridge.
Goldberg!
And he's immediately been sent on loan to Bromley, who were managed by Mark Goldberg, his father.
Yeah, of course.
And former Crystal Palace owner.
How old is the boy, do you know?
He's about 23, 24.
Yeah,
he's not young, but apparently they sent him on loan with the view of getting him in the team next season.
Okay. So, well, to be honest, if he can do it then at that again, level, then he can do it at least.
He's only signed a one-year contract, so... They basically bought him and loaded him out for the season.
Sounds very strange.
I wonder if Mark Goldberg's got his hands on that.
Possibly.
We don't know. Anyway.
What a goal at Borough he scored, though.
Yeah.
Magnificent.
Those were the days.
Can we talk about James Vaughan now, please?
Yeah.
Scored again. They lost. 8 goals for the season now. They didn't play last night, did they? James Vaughan.
Yeah.
At Huddersfield. 8 goals this season.
Still the youngest scorer in Premier League history.
It's absolutely ridiculous. They've scored 8 goals already this season. He's played, 5 league games? Maybe one League Cup game.
That is outrageous.
Yeah. And speaking of ridiculous, Rangers have played 4 games in the old Scottish League One, as it's now known, and scored 18 goals.
Really?
They've finally cracked that level.
They're doing better than they were at League Two.
Yeah, they are. It's bizarre.
Nothing wrong with that.
We could have even played that game you were talking about earlier then. Mr. Chris, we were talking about, obviously we did Play Your Cards Right, which you missed, Andy. It was fantastic. It was really slick.
It was. It was really, really well coordinated.
I won Family Fortunes last week.
You didn't win this one. Yeah. No, nobody really.
There was no winners,
one. There were no winners, especially for listeners.
Yeah.
But Chris, you used to play a game outside your gym, didn't you?
That was it. Play Your Arse Right.
Play Your Arse Right.
It was a variant of Brucey's favourite.
I don't think it was a variant of Brucey's favourite, the dirty arse.
I think it might have been. That's exactly what it was.
It's the same format. You sit outside a gym or somewhere where there's going to be ample females walking along, and you
along here.
Yeah, exactly. We could have a couple of rounds.
But we couldn't redo it because it's more visual.
Or primary school.
Yeah.
Unless we start taking about
the mothers. The mothers. The mothers.
All right, Michael Lavelle.
But anyway,
but it's, you know, it's higher or lower whether the art is going to be, you know, there's two different rules, bigger or smaller or better or worse than the last woman to have walked past.
Nice.
It's a simple game. Game of chance. For all the family.
Wow.
You could do it at football.
You could do it outside an LP.
Yeah, I mean, there'd be some low numbers.
The next player to touch the ball, will he have a better arse or a worse arse than the player before?
If you did it at an LP,
we've got Akin Fenwick playing for us at Jill's. I think that'd be a fantastic
get outside no people's home. You could genuinely do higher or lower.
Yeah.
As the women walked out.
That's true as well.
That's an image
to be discussed.
I think we should play it next week.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a visual game. It's and this is a podcast, Dan, so it doesn't really work.
It works almost as well as playing your cards, right?
I think it all depends on how we
get the image across. Move on.
I think family fortunes hit a high, and I don't think we're going to hit that.
I've got some good ideas. Don't worry.
I reckon with that jacket, I mean, the only way is up.
We should do some sort of quiz on Twitter soon, and the winner gets the jacket. Yeah. Oh, we gave away a VHS video last time. Do you remember that?
We didn't give away your fifth finger, though, did we? Which someone was really unhappy about. To be honest.
Jerome ate it, I think.
Bastard. Didn't even win it.
Oh, by the way, speaking of people who aren't here, can we wish a happy birthday to Stuart Hoare? It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Stuart.
No, he's pre-recorded some comments for us, though.
Right, back to football.
What did he say?
Someone's football. Written Toe Jam and Earl on the table. That was a great game.
Can we get back to football, please?
Okay, let's go back to football. Andy Franks, Brentford, you've re-signed your penalty taker.
Yeah, Trotter's back.
Well,
McElhinney got injured. He broke his leg two weekends ago. We need another striker. He knows the setup. He's a fucking good footballer.
He's at Fulham, isn't he?
Was he at Fulham?
Yeah. Are you sure you didn't re-sign him for the penalties because your captain didn't have
did
the balls to take
cigarette
him?
Did I just roll a cigarette or did I make that
Well, that was only something that James Staples wanted to try and wind me up about.
He's already been getting a good few arguments going on.
I'm sure he has.
Talking about,
I'm pleased Trotter's back. He's actually probably one of the best strikers in that league.
You've also signed Raphael Calvé from Auxerre.
So he's, 20 years old, central defender. We're investing in youth. It's a good thing. He's been brought in to play for
the youth
team.
You're investing in youth? How old is he? 23?
No, 20.
20? If you invest in youth, why don't you bring some South London kids through or some South West London kids through instead
of some Herbert from Auxerre?
Some Herbert from Auxerre.
That's not
investing in youth.
Some Herbert.
He's been brought in to play with the youth team, training with the senior team.
Cheese eating surrender monkeys.
Wrong, States, but you just seem to be picking a fight today.
No, not true. Right, what's next? Let me rip the shit out of that.
Talking about some Football League stuff, I've got some Football League transfers that caught my eye.
I did have one thing I want to say.
As we were on Brentford,
the
real Javi Venta did score his debut goal for us last night.
I don't know what that means.
Javi Venta.
I don't know what any of those
I have
words
no
mean.
Idea what any of
37-year-old ex-Spanish international actually scored for us last night.
Oh, never heard of it.
Why have you signed a 37-year-old?
Never heard of him.
Up your bums, all of you.
So, is that part of your youth experience?
No, this is just our OAP setup. I think it's fantastic.
You're even getting your OAPs from abroad,
aren't
you?
Fans absolutely love him.
Speaking of fans loving him.
One signing that I am actually genuinely, without trying to pick a fight or anything, I'm looking to see him. Nick Powell went from United to Wigan.
Discovered Nick Powell, didn't you?
Well, kind of.
Kind of.
You originally found him.
True story, though. About 6 months before anyone had heard of him. He was playing in the Crewe first team at the time, and their fans were going mental about him. But since he scored from 40 yards against Gills, I've been looking at him as much as I can, and I thought he might actually get a chance. He played a cup game last season.
He scored on his debut in the league against Wigan for us, and they played a couple of times in the Champions League and
Blackburn
the league.
Blackburn again.
How old is he? 20.
He's about 19, I think, 18, maybe.
Yeah, he was 17 when he signed, I think. Yeah. And he basically single-handedly got them to the playoffs and promoted. It's called a pearler at Wembley.
I thought he might have helped keep us up this season.
Speaking of fans' favourites, I was chatting to Sue Hall about the three deadline day signings, ex-Spurs players.
Yeah.
Well, current or ex-Spurs players in Cranshaw, Okotu and Tom Carroll. And obviously, as you can possibly imagine...
Where have they gone, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Meeting up with Harry again. As you can imagine, Stuart Hall was pretty excited about it for QPR. But I mean, that's three fantastic signs for their season. And quote from Stuart Hall, He reckons they'll win the championship with a record points tally this year.
Ooh. Well,
that is a I laughed, and then he said, "No, I'm being genuinely serious. I'm going to be real." But they will think
they've,
the fan
they've probably got the best squad ever in place to attack a championship season. Mm.
Yeah.
You can make a case for Newcastle when they went down, but the type of players that Newcastle had there, like Colaccini and a few others like that, where I thought they're not going to actually fancy the championship.
And, yeah. really,
and they did.
Really
yeah, they
in.
Were
yeah,
absolutely yeah. phenomenal.
Keeping
that
Barton, keeping Barton has been. Good for them
well,
as well.
He's been playing man fantastic. Of the match pretty much
yeah.
every week.
Well, speaking of fans
they will, on that fan favourite, they will love Okosu because he is absolute batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And they will absolutely love him.
He's already been looking on the central line for how to get there, hasn't he? He likes getting the tube, doesn't he?
He's brilliant.
Well, speaking of fans' favourites, Gillingham have lost their racism case against Mark McCammon.
Well, he's not a fans' favourite, he's a fucking idiot.
That was the
starters.
Point, yeah.
Any trouble
sarcasm,
at the weekend?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
Any trouble at the weekend?
No. Only at the Vale. What about old Port Vale? They kicked off a bit, didn't they?
They did.
Anyone? Yeah.
Against about. Wolves. It was
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
It was
yeah,
there was three or four arrests, wasn't there?
More than that, I'm sure it was something like 17.
Yeah, there was a few cautions. They're not.
I liked obviously quite a few people brought it to your attention, but I quite like seeing old Mad Dog on his bike.
As I've said before, he's an absolute idiot.
He nearly got taken off his bike.
Yeah, apparently.
What, as he rode off,
he was so distracted by the bird who was interviewing him outside.
To be fair.
Blinder.
Anyway, yeah. So he literally rode off straight into a car.
Brilliant.
Oh, blessed. Yeah. A few more lower leagues. I didn't realise that roly-poly goalie Brian Jensen was still playing because he's just signed for Bury. You know, the old Burnley, fat Danish goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's not bad. Well,
he was decent. Yeah. Saved a penalty against us when they beat us,
yeah,
the bastard. I'll tell you what else I didn't realise. Stephen Ireland played for Newcastle. When was that?
Was that before? Yeah,
it was, he had
no,
like
it
a
was,
whole season there, didn't he?
He was at Villa, he went on loan, and then he only played for 49 minutes because he got injured.
Steve, he did.
You know what made
we talked about it on the show because he did something really stupid injury-wise as well.
The really stupid thing he did, which made me laugh when I was reading the paper this morning, was he tried to get out of, or he did get out of his international duty.
Oh, by lying about his granddad's dying.
Famously,
no, he lied about.
Made me laugh again.
He lied about one grand dying, and then when the FAI said she's not dead, he said no, I meant my other grandma, and then they said no, she's not dead either. So he lied about both grandmas.
Well, I'm sorry, but actually, no, I was.
You'd just kill your grandma, wouldn't you?
It's not like going to work. I was chatting to a lad who works in media, and he was saying that he actually used the excuse one day when he was really hungover that his granddad had died, for not getting to work. Luckily, his grandfathers had already both passed away, so you're not actually tempting fate.
Yeah.
But it's not like someone at work is going to do the research to find out whether your granddad's dead or not. If you're a professional football player, I'm pretty sure they're going to be able to find out. Well,
yeah.
It turns out they are going to be able to find out. What? Come up with a better lie than that? I mean, come on. And not more to the point, poor grandma.
Yeah, dodgy stomach works for anything.
Period.
Yeah,
pain.
Got the shits.
Works for anything.
Period.
Yeah, that's
I can't question
on.
It, can I?
No.
Really bad
awkward.
Period. Pain.
Awkward. Really?
And then finally, on the transfer window, the worst joke of the show. Millwall kept Nguessen until the last minute until he signed for Swindon. But Danny Nguessen went to Swindon. Like I said, worst joke of the show. Yeah, there you go. Chris gets it. I like you. You can stay.
Yeah,
piss off. But one of the bit of news that caught my eye this week, because it's based in Northwich and I'm a bit obsessed with my hometown. Witton Albion. Do you remember a few months ago there was a non-league striker who got sent to jail for... Maybe not. Got sent to jail for tweeting some racist things after the death of drummer Lee Rigby.
I do.
Didn't
he got sent to jail?
Yeah, he went down for 3 months. Sean Tuck, plays for Witton Albion. Yes. Made his comeback at the weekend, playing for Witton. Scored the winner in a 1-0 win over Kings Lynn. God knows how they're playing in the Evo Stick North. And then played against FC United last night, who were chanting that Witton were the club with no shame. But he's released
FC United top of that league as well.
Right, they are. They're flying. They won last night as well. I think 2-0 in the end.
What are they? Are they in the Kelligas or the
Evo Stick? But yeah, he's actually released a statement in the Northwich Guardian. I'm sure you've all read it. But he said that he's willing to meet any Witton fan one-on-one to discuss what he said and apologise.
I was saying that sounded quite aggressive.
Yeah,
until he apologised.
I'll see anyone outside.
Anywhere, anytime. Yeah. I'm going to say bloody sorry.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Fair enough. Dan, you've got some Melvin Hart news.
We've
not had any in a while.
No, we didn't. And I got shamed last week because there was some big news that I didn't mention. But that big news is bad news. unfortunately.
Because they're big bad news.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Their marquee signing, the Dutchman Orlando Engelaar, who they were going to basically mould their whole team around. He's a big lad up front. Were you just looking at
that? A tiny, tiny dog.
There was a tiny dog in a woman's
bag.
There's
a rat in the collar.
Oh, I fucking hate that. Let it walk, lazy bastard. So that's the Orlando Engelaar basically broke his leg in the first few minutes of his first game, a friendly against Brisbane Roar. They actually went on to lose. And they've now got to reshape their whole team, which is fucking shit. But the good, well, I say good news, interesting news, is that they've got a new first team captain.
Who is it?
Go on, who do you reckon the new first team captain for Heart is? No, you know who it is. Anyone for anyone?
Was it a current player?
Yeah.
Fred?
No.
Fred's left.
Harry Kewell.
Yeah.
Harry Kewell has been given the armband. And his first game...
Shining inspiration to everyone.
He's a leader on the pitch, isn't he?
Is he ever a captain for anyone else?
No. Maybe Australia.
No, he did captain Australia. But his first game, which is the first competitive game on the 12th of October, is the first game for Hart, is the derby against Melbourne Victory, who Kewell was at last year and had a shit season and a shit time. So, massive game, first game of the season.
How old's Harry
Kewell? New captain, 35.
How old are his knees?
45.
Two, 3 years?
Yeah.
No, he's got new knees, hasn't he? Not going to be older.
Well, it depends on who put him in.
Well, no, his knees can't be older than him.
Well, it depends on who they got him from.
What if they got the knee or the footballer?
An 80-year-old's knee and stuck that in instead.
That would be really stupid.
Well, but if it was a really fit guy who's 80 years old.
Yeah.
Fit
guy that's 80 years old?
Well, you know, what's that geezer that does
Bruce Forsyth.
Well, Bruce, he still does a little shuffle, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So that's the it's good news and bad news.
He does when he's playing player arse, right?
Well, that Harry Kewell, captain of Melbourne Heart, has got Bruce Forsyth's knees.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Bruce Forsyth must be involved in this big scandal.
No, leave it.
By which you mean the Harry Kewell knee scandal, I'm sure.
But they did just win, literally about an hour ago, won the pre-season friendly 1-0 against a pre-shite team. But anyway, they won. So,
fantastic.
Looking forward to 12th of October, first league game of the season for Hart.
Well, a couple of quick notes before we tie it up. Kettering Town, good luck to them. They're on the brink of going into liquidation. They still have money to Rushton and Diamonds, the original club that went out of business themselves, which is a bizarre situation, but I hope that all turns around fine. And also, I've actually got a blog on the Football Blogging Awards website. Their nominations are due to go live in a couple of weeks, and we do urge you to vote for us or somebody better than us in the best podcast category. But visit
them.
What do you mean
you urge us to vote for someone better than us?
Well, to be fair, do we really deserve an award?
Yes, no. We do.
Ever since Jim stopped hosting, it's been downhill.
We've got a jacket.
Don't give him
just
that.
Ask Sparrow.
Yeah, we've got a jacket. Aren't we?
But the dude's in Manchester, it's being hosted by some bird who won FHM's High Street Honey, so maybe we do want to try and get
right, seriously, please vote for us.
She is a City fan,
she's
but...
She's hosting it. But she can hardly talk.
Who cares?
Apparently she hosts City's pretty much stuff in their fan zone.
Look, do us a favour.
I'd like to see her fan zone.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, I'd really like to meet the Fire Street, High Street Honey. Thanks, Dave. That as well. Vote for us.
Yeah, www.footballbloggingawards.co.uk. The nominations open on the 29th of September. I'm sure we'll talk about it before then. But get on there. By the way, Gordon Taylor's got 50 quid in us to win and he really needs the money. So make sure you get
about,
on there.
Fantasy football?
Fantasy football, we'll have an update on that next week along with iTunes reviews. But as for now, I think that's about it because I want to get another pint before I go back and it's 2:05. So email us, banner@footballpodcast.co.uk. Follow us, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. Visit footballpodcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter, @footballpodcast. Make sure you vote
Chris,
for us.
Chris, are you on Twitter?
I'm not, no.
You need to get your ass on Twitter.
We're going to get you on there.
And get involved.
And we've updated the website to put Twitter names on there as well.
Mine's
on there.
Simon Head's still got the password. I'm on there @MichaelCox and I never use it.
No, you never use it. Shut up.
I'll start again.
No, don't bother. You're shitting.
Love you.
Yeah, whatever.
Bye. Bye.